the only mission of God is to embrace all of us, is to draw us to himself. That is the mission of God. What is the purpose of God? He is the one who created all of us. He is the one who provides everything that we see, that we receive in this world. But we failed. We went away from him. We corrupted ourselves. We sinned. But still God comes to embrace us. He comes to embrace us in various ways, but we still go away from God. We still slip away from the call of God and we go away from God. That's what we are going to look at today. How are we going away from God? Three passages we will look into it, understanding how we go away from God. The first one that I have taken is the Ten Commandments. We read the first lesson, the Ten Commandments. Do you know Ten Commandments in its order? Do you know it? Do you know what's the number one? What is the number 10? It will come handy to you. I'll tell you my experience. In 2007, I applied to go to US, America, for my theological studies. It was only 3 months trip. So Indians getting US visa is something difficult. I applied for it. I went to the embassy in Chennai, one of the cities in India. And my turn came when I had to give interview to the officer. You know, it's a very dramatic event. You cannot touch them. You know, there's a glass. They will speak from a speaker, and you have to speak to them through a speaker. The one who interviewed me did not believe that I was a pastor. He did not believe that I was a theological student. He had doubt. I don't know why. By looking at me, he might have thought that I came trying to get visa to run to US. So he asked me, tell me 10 commandments. And I said everything. He was counting, number one, number two, number three. When I said the 10th one, do not covet, he said, your visa is granted. So it comes handy. But that's not the reason I want you to I want you to know 10 commandments. 10 commandments is given by God for us to draw closer to him. He gave these commandments through Moses that he will develop his own people, Israelites. They did not have their own identity. They were simply slaves in Egypt. They did not have their own nation. They did not have their own religious order. Nothing. And God miraculously brought them out of Egypt and led them for 40 years. And he wanted to make them special people, unique people. And therefore, he gave them the Ten Commandments. You are my people. You are chosen people, very special people on earth, my people, follow these 10 commandments. Draw closer to them to make good relationship with people, and people will make good relationship with him, but they made it rules. They made it rules. They made it difficult. Can you remember 613 commandments? Can you remember? They made it a burden. God made it very simple, but they made it a burden. Now, our time is very short, so I will be very brief. See, for example, the Sunday laws. Not Sunday laws, I'm sorry. Sabbath laws. Sabbath laws means there are many. you have to follow on Sabbath, you are not supposed to work. So what is work? They would define, you know, if I carry this book, this Bible, when you carry this, if this is a job, you are not supposed to carry anything on Sunday. Sabbath. On Sabbath, you are not supposed to carry anything, but you can drag it. That's fine. What a funny rule. They came up with such kind of rules. What they thought was, they are protecting Ten Commandments with these many laws. Ten Commandments is so precious, so wonderful, so holy. We want to protect it. If you want to protect it, we have to come up with too many laws. For example, the third commandment is what? Do not take God's name in vain. They said, let us not take his name at all. Don't take his name. What you should do? You have to say instead of that, Adonai, our Lord, L-O-R-D, L-O-R-D. Whenever you see in the Bible, L-O-R-D in capital, it is meant Yahweh. They don't want to say. So they come up with their own rules and regulations, and they make it more complicated. They make it more difficult for the people to follow God's commandments. In fact, they lost the essence of the Ten Commandments. You want to do over. You want to do too much. Why? Because you don't want to catch hold of the simple, straightforward commandments of God. Don't we do that? Easy one I will pick up, not this one. This one seems to be easy, but then I will not do that. I will do something else to attach myself, saying that I am following God's commandments. Two baseball teams agreed to play a game together. The first batter came. He came with tennis outfit. Baseball has got its own uniform. He came with a tennis outfit. And he said that, look, I am going to play this match with the tennis outfit. And people were looking at him. And he said, I am going to, you need a bat to play, but I'm not going to play baseball bat. I'm going to play with cricket bat. I'm going to play with cricket bat. I'm not going to play with baseball bat. Then he said that there are three balls, three strikes, but for me, there should be five strikes. And when I hit, all of you should close your eyes. All fielders should close your eyes. And this is the way I am going to play. Do you think this will yield any result? That's what exactly we do that. We come with our own authority. We come with our own rules. And the essence of God's commandments diluted. And we make it very, very, very hard for people to understand. And we make it very far for people to grab it. Now, God is giving these commandments so that we know him, we love him, and we build a relationship with him. But God is not giving these commandments to chase us away from him. That's how we make it. The people made commandments so difficult for people, and they were being chased away. Now, when I was a missionary working in one of the states in India, I was under a senior, and he was in charge for the compound, and he gave a commandment to all the people living in the compound that pork is unallowed in this compound. You are not supposed to eat. You are not supposed to bring pork meat inside the compound. You are not supposed to eat pork inside the compound, because in Leviticus it says pork is forbidden. And we worked among Santali tribes, and their choicest meat is pork. And this pork is forbidden in the compound. I think I said it earlier or not, I don't know. Then once this missionary was away for his training, and they asked me whether pork can be brought in, I said yes. Then we ate. The next day when we visited the villages, they said, "This is our man, he eats pork." No, the question that we ask is, by eating pork, am I drawn closer to God, or am I going away from God? By watching this movie, am I drawn closer to God, or am I going away from God? How are you going to understand God's commandments? Are you making new commandments? Everything that we do, ask this question: is it bringing me closer to God, or is it bringing away from God? The second thing that we will take is from 1 Corinthians. Paul is dealing with divisions in Corinth. Divisions. People said that I belong to Apollos. Someone said I belong to Cephas, Peter. I belong to Paul. And some said I belong to Christ. The church was a divided church. So in that context, Paul comes and says, cross is important. Look at the cross. Cross appears to be foolish. Appears to be foolish to Gentiles, weak to Greek, but this is the power of God shown to us. Through cross, God's redemptive power is revealed. Through cross, we are saved. That's what he comes very beautifully. If you read first three, four chapters of 1 Corinthians, you would notice that he is arguing it well. And then he is asking, am I the one who was crucified for you? Is Paul crucified? Is Apollos crucified? Jesus is the one crucified, and you look at him. In other words, Paul says, I have come not with eloquent preaching. I have not come with flowery language. I could have come, because he's a learned person. He's a very scholarly person. I could come up with crafty words. But he says, I have not come with those crafty words, eloquent preach. He very beautifully said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I have come just to teach you Jesus and Jesus who is crucified. In other words, Paul very clearly says, don't look at me. Don't look at me. We are not the people whom you should be looking at. You have to look at Jesus. John the Baptist model. What is John Baptist model? I stoop down. I bent so that Christ may be seen. Let me decrease, Christ may increase. Paul says the same here in his own way. He says, don't look at Apollos, don't look at Cephas or Paul, me, but look at Christ. We are all servants. We are all here to build the building on the foundation which Jesus already has put it. We will be paid. We will be rewarded. You shouldn't be following us. You should be following Jesus. Jesus also in his ministry very beautifully said, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather me, scatters. Whoever does not gather to me scatters. We have many preachers, many leaders. How are you knowing them that they are good leaders? How are you knowing them that they are good preachers? Are they drawing you to themselves? Or are they drawing you to Jesus? Because in this world, we are in a difficult time. Many, many leaders have come up, and they want you to follow them. They want you to faithfully follow their YouTube channels. They want you to faithfully give comment about them. Are they taking you to Jesus, or are they drawing you to themselves? Then we come to the third passage, which is Jesus cleansing the temple. Is it a spring cleaning? Is Jesus is going to the temple and doing the regular spring cleaning? He made a whip and chased the sellers, freed the cattle and sheep, asked the people to take away the doves that they were selling. He poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. Why did Jesus do that? Jesus was angry. He was too angry, and he said, "Stop making my father's house a marketplace. Stop. This is a wonderful place of my father, and you are making it a marketplace." Why did Jesus do this? Why was he angry? Is he angry because of the noise pollution? You know, a market means certainly noise would be there. Is Jesus angry because of the noise pollution? Cattle and sheep were sold. That means animals are there in that place, which might be giving some stinking smell. Is Jesus against that? Wow, the air is polluted. No, not at all. Jesus was angry. It is all because the temple is built to draw people to God. Moses is the one who came up with the idea of tabernacle, the tent. They were worshiping. David picked up that and he said, "No, I want a temple to be built for my Lord so that all of them will come and worship God." Solomon, when he built the temple, he said a beautiful prayer. Read that prayer. "This is the place which meant for all people to come and worship. This is the place for the Lord. And this is the place for all people, not only for Israelites. It is also for the people who live in the neighboring nations. This is for the people of all parts of the world." But what they have done, the place which belongs to all people has become a marketplace. The Gentile court in Jerusalem temple, you have got many courts. The first court is the Gentile court where everyone can come. And this is a place rich can come, poor can come, people in high society can come, low society can come. A place for everyone, and they made that as a business center. Not only that, they said, if you had to go and worship God, you had to buy the animals here. You may have brought the animal from your home, saying that this animal I am going to sacrifice for the Lord. They would say that no, such animals are not allowed. Because it has got some defect in it. Our priest has to approve. Our priest would not approve this because it has got defect. You had to buy the animal from this place. And if you buy the animal, it's expensive. Not only that, you cannot put the coin that you brought from your home in the temple because it has got image. This is the place where image is not allowed. So you have to change the money. All rules they came up with, they were not embracing people, they were not inviting people, but they were chasing people away. And they made it a place of a business. So Jesus got angry and he said, this is my father's house. You have made a market. Now in this context, is that what Jesus wanted to say? Something else. John picked up very beautifully in his gospel. Other three gospel writers did not pick up that. People asked this question to Jesus. Who are you? Why are you doing this? What sign are you going to show us? Who are you? So in this context, Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up. The people were very surprised. Jesus talked about his own body, which is the temple. They said, we have been building this building, which is, the construction is still going on. 46 years have taken place already, and you are going to build it in 3 days if it is destroyed? Jesus talked about his own body. What Jesus is saying is, if you want to come to God, you don't need to spend money. You don't need to bring animal sacrifice. No more animal sacrifice. You don't need to come to a physical building. I have come. I have come to draw you closer to God. And to do that, I required to go for suffering. My suffering, my death, and my rising again is important. And do that. Now I am permanently with you. I have come to embrace you. In other words, Jesus said, I am the temple. Destroy me, crucify me, torture me, kill me. I will rise up. This is the final way through which you are going to see God. This is the final way you are going to draw closer to God. God has been making plans right from the beginning to embrace people. But we were slowly finding ways and means to go away from him. At last, Jesus came in his in physical form to embrace us. Can we reject him? We cannot afford to reject him. Why is the problem that we slowly drift away from him? Why we are slipping away from God? I thought I will tell this illustration and ask three questions and finish it. This illustration, probably I have said it earlier, forgive me, I thought this illustration would fit here. In a some thieves entered into a shop in the night. They entered in the shop not to steal any things from the shop, but they did something funny. They interchanged the price tag. Whatever 1,000 euros article, they took that price tag and put it into 10 euro worth things and they attached that. They interchanged the price tag. That's all they did. The next morning when the business started, there was confusion in the shop. Big confusion. People did not know what to do. Satan has done exactly like that in this world. What is simple? What is straightforward? We make it big. What is big, what is complicated, we try to make it simple. Interchanged the priorities. Jesus is the only priority that we have to keep in our in focus. Let me ask these three questions. Does the rules that you have in your life, does the law that you have in your life make you closer to God or make you away from God? The second question, do people, whoever you want to listen, do people lead you to Jesus or to lead you to themselves? Third question, is church buildings, its ambience, is beauty your attraction, or is Jesus your attraction? When you come to worship, do you see Jesus, or what do you say? May the dear Lord help us so that we are drawn closer to him and him alone. God bless us all. Amen. We will stand and sing this response song.